Continue in the book of James, getting towards the end of chapter 1 here. Last week, James challenged us to make sure our hearts were such that we could receive the implanted word. And we talked about the heart and how we can have a hard heart or shallow heart or a crowded heart, or we can have a fruitful heart. And we need to hear the word, and that's what that was talking about, receiving it. And it is extremely important to be able to hear the voice of God, either through his word or through his spirit. But hearing is not enough. And James now exhorts us to act upon what we have heard. And so we're going to look at this today, verses 22 through 25 of James chapter 1. And he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does." So we have a lot of principles here. And the first part we're just going to see in verse 22, we see God's instruction, his instruction. We are commanded to actively live out God's will. He says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself. If you're just hearing, you know, you come here week after week, hear messages, that's great. You know, we need to hear the word of God. You maybe day after day, you're in your Bible, hearing the word of God, you know, in your mind's ear, so to speak, as you read to yourself. Spirit can bear witness with your spirit, and you can hear something from God. But we've been instructed to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And so the first part of that is basically be a dutiful hearer. Be a dutiful hearer. And got some verses here. It says, therefore, this is in Matthew, says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. You know, it's not enough to hear. It says, if you hear these words and act on them, you are like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the rivers rose, the wind blew and pounded the house, yet it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But it says, but everyone who hears the words of mine and doesn't act on them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain, you know, same things happen in life. You know, whether your house is built on a rock or on the sand, the rains are going to come, the rivers are going to rise, the winds are going to blow, and you're going to get pounded. You know, your life gets pounded from time to time with different things. But the difference is, a wise man built on the rock, and that is a person that hears and acts on what he hears. The foolish man hears and does not act on what he hears, and it collapses. His house collapses with a great crash. And so we should listen to God with a sense of duty, with a sense of obedience that, you know what, we're going to, remember I talked last week that word, you know, hear, it's not just like hear. It's here with the intention you're going to do something. You're going to obey. You're going to carry it out, whatever it is that you hear. And so we need to listen to God with a sense of duty, with a sense of, you know, I'm going to perform this when God speaks to me. And secondly, you know, we should not be a deceived hearer. A deceived hearer. It says, be a doer of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Don't think that hearing the word equals obeying the word. There is a difference. You know, think about this. You go to a restaurant. You know, you read the menu. Man, look at this menu. I mean, if you go to BJ's, it'd take you like an hour to read that menu. But you know, you read the menu, man, look at, they got eggs, they got bacon, they got sausage, they got pancakes, they got French toast. Then you get to lunch, you know, and you could know that menu inside out. But there's a difference between knowing the menu and having a meal, isn't there? Those of you that, I know Harvey's a builder. He could have blueprints and he could read those blueprints and study them and know them inside out. But what good is that if he doesn't build the building? I mean, what's accomplished? What's the point? Ladies, we got a lot of ladies in here. We got a lot of food in this church. You could have the greatest recipe in the world, right? Greatest recipe in the world. And you can know that recipe by heart. But if you don't mix the ingredients up and put it in the oven or put it on the stove or whatever it is you do, what's the point? And if you're reading this and you're not growing in your faith by doing what this says, what's the point? Don't be deceived. Knowing this word is not enough. We must act upon it. And to hear God's word without obeying it is a serious spiritual miscalculation. Because if you think just knowing it is good enough, it's not. It's not. And you're cheating yourself out of a blessing. You know, when we deceive ourselves, we cheat ourselves. Out of truth, out of a blessing, out of God being able to work in our lives. So many of the things, you read in the Bible, especially Old Testament, when they were going to cross the Jordan, Joshua leading the children of Israel. Now Moses has gone on to be with the Lord, and there's Joshua, and he says, okay, it's flood stage, and they got the word of the Lord, you're going to cross the Jordan and take the land. But if they had just sat there, they'd still be sitting there today. What did they do? They gathered up, they gathered up all their stuff. They lined up. The priests went first with the ark, and they actually walked out into the water. And when they stepped in the water, that's when the miracle happened, and the water, dried up or parted or however, whatever it looked like. It must have been really cool. And they went across. And it took action on their part. Just knowing what God said wasn't enough. They had to step into the water. And in our Christian lives, a lot of times, we know a lot of things, but we don't want to step into the water. And we need to. We need to take a chance on God. It's really not much of a chance if God's in it. It's not like it's like, gee, this might work out or it might not. If God has asked you to do it, that's what we need to do. And so don't cheat yourself out of a blessing. A lot of people want big things to happen in their life. Well, nothing big is going to happen in your life if you just stay in the same place you are. You got to place yourself in a position to receive a miracle if you want a miracle. If you want a blessing, you got to put yourself in a position to receive a blessing. And so don't be deceived. Don't be a deceived hearer. We need to read our Bible and grow in our faith by doing what it says. And sometimes it's just very basic stuff, and sometimes it's something that kind of stretches you. And God will build your faith gradually. And He'll, you take a small step, it works out, that gives you more faith so you can take a bigger step. And then one day, man, you'd be doing things you never thought you'd do. But you're doing them because God has prepared you. But it still requires your obedience to do that. So be a dutiful hearer, but don't be a deceived hearer. Okay. So then God takes the rest of this passage and it's his illustration. And he uses something that we use pretty much every day, pretty much every one of us, pretty much. Now, some of you, I wonder, but most of us use a mirror every day, okay? Now, sometimes we come in and we're like, oh, man, that guy even look at a mirror today, you know? But, you know, most of us use a mirror. So how many did not use a mirror today? Okay, don't raise your hand. There we go. But God uses an illustration here about a mirror to illustrate his point. And he says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his own face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And so, first in verse 23, he says, if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man looking at his own face. It is a factual look. A factual look. God's word, you know, the Bible calls this God's mirror. And you look into this, and it's going to show you something. It's going to show you something about yourself. And God reveals your own true self to you. And not the one that you allow others to see. Because, you know, we all have our church face, right? Come in. You know, you've either heard this or you've done it. You know, you fought all the way to church, you know, with your husband, with your wife, with your kids or, you know, whatever. And you get out of the car. Hey, oh, it's a blessing to be here. Oh, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. And then when the service is over and you've had all that fine fellowship, you get in the car and bam, you know, right back at it. You know, we allow people to see what we want them to see. I mean, let's just own it. You know, we do. And every one of us does it. Okay. At some point, somewhere, we do it. And we don't, God's word, though, it reveals the true person to us. And Hebrews, for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, two-edged sword, penetrating as far as separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. But see, that's the first part. That's the part everyone knows. Oh, the word of God's a two-edged sword. Everybody knows that. What's the next verse? No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we're going to give an account one day. See, there's the part, you know, oh yeah, Bible's a two-edged sword, you know, and we think of that, and it is. But boy, that next verse, hello, we are going to be exposed. The Bible exposes us for who we are before the Lord. And we're going to give an account for who we are and the things we do or don't do, such as the case may be, before God. That's the factual look. Are you willing to see who you are? That's the question. You know, when we look at the Word of God, are we just reading it because we know that's what we should do? And we should. But why? Why should we? Because it's going to reveal to us, who we are, how we need to change, what we need to add to our life, what we need to cut out of our life, those kind of things. It's a factual look. And, you know, and some people are not willing to see. Do we look at this thing, you know, with a heart that's open that, you know what, God can come in and kind of rearrange some things in us? Or do we have our mind made up? And we're, you know, bless God, this is the way I am. And, you know, I've been this way for 30 years and I'm going to be this way for 30 more, you know, or whatever. It's a factual look. And here's the thing. Even if you're not willing to see it, God still sees it. And one day you will give an account. You will be forced to face who you are. One day. And we will give an account. Now, are we going to be judged, you know, to damnation? No. But we will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for our works. That's what James, it's a book about works. It's about living out our faith through the things we do. And that's what the Christians are going to be judged on, their works. You know, whether they're good, you know, precious stones and gold and silver, or is it wood, hay, and stubble that gets burned up under the fire of God's judgment? And we need to take that seriously. You know, it's one of the things that I teach with the men in men's groups. I haven't done it in our group yet, but it's living with the end in mind. You know, we should live our lives with the end in mind. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, we got to pay attention to what's going on now, but what about what's going to go on when you're before the judge? You know, are you prepared? And will you be able to look back on your life and go, well, you know, I did make some mistakes, and, you know, there's no one here that hasn't. But, you know, we made some mistakes. But you know what? Overall, no regrets. You know, overall, I tried to serve the Lord, you know, honestly the best I could, and no regrets. And we gotta be thinking about these things. Because, you know, we don't know when the Lord's going to come back, and we don't know when our last day is going to be, but I guarantee you this, you're one day closer to that than you were yesterday. And every day, we're one day closer to that, whatever day that event is. We're closer every day. So that's a factual look. In verse 24, we see the fleeting look. The fleeting look. For this guy, you know, he's a hearer, not a doer. And it says he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He sees a reflection. He sees a reflection. And he says, you know, like Fonzie, right? Remember Fonzie? Go before a mirror and you go, oh, you know, can't improve on this, you know. And he walk away, you know. Looks okay to me. And, you know, pretty much I know with me, I get up in the morning and I'll comb my hair and, you know, do whatever. And then I don't really look at a mirror the rest of the day. You know, the whole rest of the day, I don't know what this is doing, you know. And, you know, it's so true. It's a fleeting look. You just look and you go, okay, looks good now. Poof, go to work, go to wherever, go to school, go to work, go to church, whatever. It's a fleeting look. And a person like that in God's Word, he looks at it and there's no response to it. He just reads it. Wow, that's a really good verse. I wish so-and-so would live this. You know, we got a lot of opinions about others, you know. Oh, wow, I wish. You know, you ever sit in a message and you go, man, where was so-and-so? They really needed this message, you know. And you're not even thinking about you. But let me ask you a question. Who's hearing the message? God brought you here today. He actually got you up an hour earlier than you thought you should have. And you got it, and you got here, and you're hearing a message. Is that an accident? You know, did God mess up somehow? You know, Joe isn't here. He needed to be here. Boy, I don't know why I came, because, you know, I got this down, you know. That's called deception. Don't be deceived. The Word just told us. But when we look at the mirror in a fleeting kind of a way, we just see the reflection. There's no response. There's no effect on our life. It was just, wow, it's just a really good passage. And the next day, you don't even remember what you read, because it was just fleeting. The fleeting look. We see our reflection, we go our way. But here we have the focused look. The focused look. He says, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom. What's that? That's this book. You know, this book gives you freedom. It frees you. And you don't have to be shackled and chained in the bonds of whatever Satan has done in your life. And, you know, and Satan has affected us all in some way, shape, or form over the years. and use lies and deception and things to get into our heads and mess us up. But you don't have to stay there. And you know what? When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were once in chains to your sin. And when you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, those chains fell off. The prison door was opened up, and you could walk out anytime you want. But you know what? There's a ton of people that just stay in there. The chains are off. The door is open. You could leave, but they just stay. Because you know what? If you don't know what to do or where to go, you get comfortable right where you're at, and you just stay there. You know, I've experienced it. A lot of people have. You know, you could be in a job that you really don't care about, but you have more fear of what's out there than at least you know what to expect at this job, but so you're comfortable. So you just kind of stay there. Even though, you know, a lot of people leave and tell you, wow, it's way better out there. You know, there's other things out there. And we stay where we're comfortable. And you know what? We can become comfortable right where we're at with God when we really need to be better. We need to be closer to God. He needs to be working more in our life. And yet we're comfortable right where we are, and we stay there. And this law of freedom is letting you go. It's letting you leave that behind and go into where the exciting stuff is, where God is working. Yeah, a little sidebar there. That wasn't a point. Looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it. You know, you don't just read it once in a while and, you know, you persevere in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works. This person will be blessed in what he does. And so, you know, the first thing is he says, looks intently. Looks intently. He looks intently. That word, when you look it up, it means to stoop down, to lean over, to peer within. It'd be like the first person, you know, the fleeting look, you know, he could look over there and go, wow, that's piano. Okay, wow, nice piano. Cool. But a person that has a focused look is going to come over. Wow, that's a piano. And they're going to do this. This is what the word means. It means bend over. I'm going to look in here. Did you know this is a stringed instrument? You know, I always thought of a guitar as a stringed instrument. There's a lot of strings in here. There's a bunch of holes in here. There's a microphone in here. There's all these little things in here that you adjust. There's all these little levers and things that go up and down. It's pretty cool in there. Never knew that. But that's literally what the word means. You're going to stop for a minute. You're going to bend over. You're going to stoop. And you're going to check it out. And you're going to respond to what you see. Because you see, when you have the fleeting look, it's just a reflection. But when you have the focused look, something will be revealed to you. Something you didn't know before. Something that was deeper than you thought. That's the focused look. And I've got four characteristics of the focused person. What a focused person does. The focused, first of all, they ponder. They ponder. You know, I shared those verses last week with you just at the, you know, the very beginning, you know, two verses that have been in my life for a lot of years. Proverbs 4:26, you know, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Ponder. It doesn't mean just, oh, there's a path, I'm just going to go. No, ponder where you're going. Think about where you're going. Consider what the ramifications of that path is and where it's going to take you and what the result could be. And then the following verse that affected me was one in the next chapter, which was Proverbs 5:21, that says, "The Lord, all the ways of a man are before the Lord, and he ponders where he's going or his goings." And so, hey, even if you're not, if you're just looking at the mirror as a reflection and you're not even thinking about it, listen to me, God is pondering where you're headed. God is aware of the path you're on. He's thinking about it. But the focus, when you're focused on this word, you're pondering it. You don't just read it and go, wow, that's a really cool thing, and there's 37 other people out there that really ought to be applying this verse to themselves, but we need to ponder, what does it mean to us? What's God telling me? I'm the one that read that verse today. God had something for me in those verses. What are they? And if you don't know, ask. And a little later in James, he says, he talks about asking because you have not, because you ask not. You don't know why. You don't understand why this is going this way or whatever. Have you ever stopped and pondered and asked? That it helps to ask. What if you ask, you might just get an answer. God might give you some light. The focus, they ponder. They look carefully in God's word to see what he wants them to see. You know what we're guilty of? We look in God's word to see what we want to see. You can make the Bible say anything you want. You can justify your behavior and find some verse and twist it a little bit out of context or whatever and then just go, wow, man, I'm good. What does God want you to see? See, that's way more important. Because he's got our best interest at heart. He's trying to conform us to the image of his son. And if we see what he wants us to see, that process is going to go better for us. So the focus, they ponder. They carefully look into God's word and to see what he wants them to see. The focused persevere. They persevere. It says, the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom, the word of God, and perseveres in it. It's not enough to look at it once. You ever read a verse many, many times over the years and, it never really did anything for you? And then all of a sudden, one day, when you're at a certain place in your life and you see that same verse, it just, whew. It's like, wow, I never saw that before, or wow, I really needed that. And I've read that verse 50 times, but it really means something to me now. You don't get that. Some people, they do their Bible study like, okay, what does God want me to see today? And you might read a verse like, and Judas went out and hanged himself. Is that what you have for me today, Lord? So, that can't be right. So, go and do likewise. Don't do that, by the way. But, it's not a happenstance thing. Now, granted, there have been times in my life when I opened it up and yes, God worked that way, okay? I'm not discounting his ability to do that. But if that's what you're basing your Bible study on, you're missing. You're missing out. You're missing the point. We are to persevere in this word, regularly read it with a plan, whatever the plan might be. There's a million, click on the computer, Bible study plan, man, there's a billion of them out there. Okay, pick the one that works for you And, you know, I don't honestly know how many times I've read through the Bible. I know it's many. That's all I know. Because when I get done, I just start over. You know, I just keep going. And you know what? I read stuff pretty much every day I'd swear I never read before, you know, because I just can't, you know, I just can't remember all this, you know. And so it never gets old. It's always fresh. It's always new. It's always relevant. But we need to persevere. And when you're focused, you persevere in it. Man, you just keep going, you know. It's like, I remember I was on a roof in Indio. It was like 120 degrees. I was working on an air conditioner there. And on a roof. And I got up there at like 10 in the morning or something. And I didn't come off that roof till like 4 something in the afternoon. I didn't even realize it. I was up there the whole time. No water, no nothing. And I did not realize it. I was a hurting unit when I got off that roof. I'm not kidding you. It was dangerous. But I was so focused on what I was doing. And I was having a hard time. I'll never forget it. I was having such a hard time. And I couldn't get the leak out. It had a leak and I couldn't stop the leak. And I was focused. I was intent. You know, I didn't even realize my need for water. I was so focused and I persevered, and 4 or 5 or whenever it was that afternoon, I came off the roof and about passed out. I didn't even realize how bad off I was. Can you have that experience in the Word of God where you don't even realize you're hungry or thirsty, or, you know, you're just so wrapped up in the Word of God? That's what God wants. And He wants us to be into it. And He wants us to be into it on a regular basis and be focused on it. It's not a one-time thing or an occasional thing or a when-I-need-it thing. Listen, you think you only need it certain times. You need it every day. We need it every day. Daily. You know, He calls it what? The daily bread. The daily bread. And we need it. We need to persevere in it. And those that are focused do exactly that. They persevere. They stay in it. Third thing the focused do is they produce. They produce. The one who looks intently, that's focused into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, is not a forgetful here, but one who does good works. He accomplishes something. There's production there. They don't forget what God says. They do what God says. They find out what God thinks about whatever, a particular subject or whatever, and then they apply it to their lives. They don't just say, wow, that was a really cool thing. I'll have to remember that, you know, for some other situation. They apply it to their lives right now. And you know what? It produces something. You know, it could be internal, external. It may just produce something inside you. Some change, some new insight into what that word had to say. And it may affect you profoundly. Or it could affect you in what you do outside. You know, what your activities are. There will be fruit, is what I'm trying to say. Of some sort, whether it's internal fruit or external fruit, it's going to produce something. These people don't forget what God says. They do it. They do it. And fourth, the focused prosper. They prosper. It says, this person will be blessed in what he does. They are blessed. And God is emphatic. It says, this person. In other versions, it may say, this one will be blessed. It is personal. It's emphatic. If you take in the Word of God and apply it to your life, you will be blessed. That doesn't mean, you know, you may be rich. I mean, it could include that, but there's going to be some blessing of some sort in your life from having applied God's Word to your life. There's going to be a blessing of some sort. Look at John chapter 13, I think. says, "For I have given you an example." This is Jesus. "I have given you an example that you also should do." Do just as I have done for you. What did Jesus do for you? Oh my goodness, right? Right? And he gave us an example that we should do just as I have done for you. And he says, "Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master." You know, sometimes we act like we're better than Jesus. Now, we would never say that because, you know, we know who Jesus is. But what do our actions say? You know, Jesus was busy about the work of the Lord and about the things that God would have him do. He was always submitting to his Father's will, submitting to his Father's will. And he's telling us, you know what? A servant's not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. And you know, sometimes we don't follow Christ's example, and it's almost as if we're like, "Well, I don't really need to do that." Like I say, we'd never say that, but what do our actions say? That's what we need to consider. You know, we're not greater than him. We're not higher than him. So why do we act like we don't need to do what he did? And a lot of times we do. And, you know, I'm right with you on this. He says, "You should also do just as I have done for you. And if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." See, knowing doesn't get you the blessing. Doing is where the blessing is. It is a blessing when God empowers you, enables you, urges you, and then you carry it out, you know, whatever it might be. You know, whatever that thing is, whatever that act of obedience is. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. It's a blessing to serve God. When he gives you certain abilities and gifts and then that unction, that instruction to go do it and you carry it out, it's a blessing. It is an awesome blessing to be used by the living God. That he would stoop down to our level and do something in our life that we would be able to carry out a particular function or act or service in his name, on his behalf, to help others. Yeah, it's just wild to even think about. But that's what he wants to do. You know, a lot of times, you know, God can do this supernatural kind of miracle kind of thing in people's lives. But you know what he uses a lot of? Is people. He uses people to perform the miracle. You know, sometimes you need money and he'll use a person to give you some money. You know, he doesn't just like make a magical deposit in your checking account or something. It's someone will help you out in some way. He uses people, folks. He wants us, and that's why we need to be obedient when he asks us to do something. He wants to be a blessing in someone's life, and he may just want you to be the one that acts on his behalf to bless somebody, whatever that may be. And then when you get done, you're blessed. The result is, not only was that person helped or lifted up or, you know, in some way encouraged or whatever, but you are. You know, that's one of the big things I tell people. You know, sometimes people say, you know, "I'm just so depressed. I'm so down. You know, everything's just gone wrong." And, you know, and it's hard. And I get that. But I'll say, you know what? The biggest cure for that is go out and help somebody else. Go get involved in something where you're helping somebody. Go be a minister. And you know what? You start helping others and you start feeling better. You minister to someone else and somehow God ministers to you. Have you ever, like, tried to minister to someone and they ended up being a bigger blessing to you than you thought you were to them? That's God. That's how God works. You know, you can't sit there and go, oh, I'm depressed, help me, God, and he just, poof, gives you happy thoughts. It doesn't usually happen that way. He wants you to get involved in his work, what he is doing, and as you obey and as you participate and as you do that, all of a sudden, he is doing something in your heart. He's doing something in your mind that just lifts your spirits. And you come out of there going, wow, I haven't felt this good in a while, you know? Because when we sit there, you know, really the question becomes, what are you focused on? And sometimes we just get focused on ourselves. And we sit in our house and we're like, oh, man, I'm this way. I don't know what I can do. You know, it's really a bummer. It's a downer. It's, you know, it's not good. It's been going on a long time. And we get focused on ourselves. And that's just a death spiral, folks. Because then you feel worse. And then you focus on it more. And then you feel worse. And then you focus on it more. And it's just, you're just going down. And just like Jesus said, I was your example. Look what I've done for you. Do that to others. And when you start investing in others and you see them lifted up, that lifts you up. And God starts working in your life. And that becomes, instead of a death spiral, it becomes a life spiral. And now, you know, you're being lifted up. And so now you want to lift others up even more. And then you get lifted up even more. And the next thing you know, despite the issues that may still be in your life, you're pretty happy. You're pretty joyful. You have the peace that passes all understanding. People are like going like, wow, why are they in such a good way? You know, they may know your story. They may know this, and this is not working out. But look at them. They're helping others. And that's inspiring to people. And that's God trying to get their attention. And using you to do it. This person will be blessed in what he does. We need to ask God to prepare our hearts before church or Bible study. Let me ask you a question. All the things that we do to prepare, you know, we get up in the morning, well, I better take a shower, I better comb my hair, I better, you know, all those things we do. Get dressed. Gee, you know, one of the things I do, I try to remember what I wore last week. Because I'm like, did I wear that last week? Do I want to wear the same thing like 4 weeks? And I could do it and not realize it, believe me. I'm like. But I mean, all that preparation. But let me ask you something. How much preparation do you put into being ready for whatever God is going to reveal to you today? You know, when we have a Thursday night men's Bible study or, you know, Jim's Bible Sunday school class in the morning, those that go to that, or if you're a student in one of the other things, you know, whatever it may be, or maybe you go to another study outside of this church, which there's nothing wrong with that, you know, whatever it may be. Do you prepare for that? Do we sit down and ask God, man, show me something today, Lord. Would you get these things out of my mind that are just kind of hampering my thought process? And Lord, just clear my mind and heart for just an hour while I do this so that I can really receive what you have for me. How much do we prepare? You know, before, you know, I talked about, hey, we need to read this word and persevere in it. How much do you prepare before you read the Word? Or do you just, well, I got 10 minutes, okay, I'm going to read this chapter, and, you know, you don't prepare, you don't ponder, you don't focus, you just, okay, I feel pretty good about myself, I read a whole chapter, and, you know, and I'm out of here, because I got stuff to do. And then we wonder why things aren't getting better, where we're still battling the same old stuff that we've been battling. But do you ask God, open my mind for what you have for me today? I don't want to miss it, Lord. Whatever the message is that you have for me, I don't want to miss it. And it's just like when I go in there and pray before I preach, I literally ask God to clear my head. Because I got a million things going on. And I say, God, just take it all away. And may I be focused on you and your word. You know, and just take all this stuff. Because, you know, the stuff always comes back. You don't have to worry about that. You know, I can't remember what I wore, but all the junk that I'd rather forget, that comes back all by itself. You don't got to worry about that. But I ask him, clear my mind, clear my heart, let it all be you, Lord, all of you, none of me. And then use me, Lord, whatever way you see fit. And you know what? There's a blessing that comes from that. In just preparing for whatever God may have in his word, in the message, in the Sunday school, in whatever it might be. In the service of doing, you know, if you work in a ministry and, you know, whether it be like the crafty ladies making their thing or like the people that here that volunteer at the Rose of Sharon, do you prepare before you go? The Foods for Friend thing? Do you actually prepare and say, you know, Lord, help me to be a blessing to whoever comes in for that? You know, are we ready to be a blessing so that we can be blessed? We need to ask God to prepare our hearts before church or Bible study or any whatever it is we're doing in his name. After having heard the word, we must develop the discipline to put it into practice. There's so many things that we read that we know we ought to do, but we just don't do. Yeah, didn't Paul write that? I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I know I ought to do. It is. Listen, we're in pretty good company, okay, Paul? Pretty good Christian, I'd say. Pretty close with God, I'd say. And yet he battled it. And you know what? We battle it. That's our nature. That's our sin nature. And it is a battle within us. But persevere, folks. God has won the battle. Do you understand the battle's over? When Jesus rose from the dead, we're getting ready to celebrate that in a couple weeks here. When he rose from the grave, the battle was won. The victory was won. Now, are there still the skirmishes of life taking place? Absolutely. You know, when Japan surrendered, you know, battles were still going on because people didn't know the battle was over, you know? So even though the war was officially over, there was still people fighting and dying. And you know, we have the victory in Jesus Christ, but you know what? The battle's not over. Satan is not going to, you know, he's beaten, he knows it, but he's not quitting. And we need to develop discipline in our lives and put it into practice because our own fleshly desires, our sin nature, wants to keep us from doing what God would have us do. And so we got to develop discipline. And how do you develop discipline? You do it. You do it. You know, you ever see these guys march, you know, the like the armed forces and stuff? That takes discipline to all march, you know, exactly in step and obey the commands. But how did they get there? practice. Doing it over and over again until they became disciplined in that area. And the Christian life is no different, folks. You go out there, you may fall flat on your face, but you know what? You'll learn something from it. You get up and you keep going. You persevere and you do it and you do it. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, you're going to realize, you know what? Wow, I got discipline in this area. Never had it before. Wow. After we hear the word, we must develop the discipline to put it into practice. Look into the word of God. And not just a fleeting glance, folks. We need to ponder. Focus on what it reveals to you about yourself. What it reveals to you about yourself. And act upon what you see. It's not enough to know. You got to act. You have to take a step. You got to make a decision. You got to move. Too many Christians mark their Bibles and never let their Bibles mark them. Oh, that's a good verse. Man, preach that one, man. And then they walk out of here and it hasn't done a thing. We have a tendency to mark our Bibles. I've got one at home that I use. You know, this is the one I preach out of. It has very few marks in it on purpose. So they don't get in the way of me seeing those things. But my Bibles at home are marked up. And you probably got some too. Marked up. But how many marks have they put on you? See, that's the question. You can't improve on this. This is what needs to be improved. The Bible doesn't just show us our true self. It shows us what to do. You know, it doesn't just say, hey, man, you're messed up. You know? It says, hey, you're messed up, but here's what you can do to not be messed up anymore. Because, see, God's on your side. You know, he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to grow. And he wants you to change. Listen, we all need to change. Anybody here exactly like Jesus? You need to change then, don't you? There's something that needs to change. And you know, if we're all really truthful, a whole lot of things really need to change. So it just doesn't just show us our true self. It shows us what to do. It doesn't just say, go and be warm. It provides a sweater or a jacket. You know, it doesn't say, just go and be filled. It provides you some food. It just doesn't say, just go and don't be thirsty anymore. It gives you living water. Like Jesus said, that you will never thirst again. Don't cheat yourself. The blessing is not in the knowing, it's in the doing. Now, do you have to know? Absolutely. Knowledge is important. But it's not enough. The blessing is not in the knowing, it's in the doing. Faithfully obey God. And prepare to be blessed. And you will. I guarantee it. I've obeyed him in a lot of things. And it's always come with a blessing of some sort. Sometimes not the one you thought. Sometimes in a different way. But it comes with a blessing. There may be some here. Have you been pondering your path? What path are you on? There may be some here today that you think you're okay because you're kind of a good person. And I'm sure you are, as man may see it. But God tells us that there's none good, no, not one. Because, see, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all missed the mark. Every last one of us has done that. And our problem is we compare ourselves to other people instead of to Jesus Christ. That's who you got to compare yourself to. And then that's when you realize, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. Because when you come face to face with the living God, you just realize just who you are. And the Bible is that bright light. You ever notice how you can look in the mirror in a dim light, it looks pretty good? Man, looked really good, you know? But then you turn on like that 1,000-watt light bulb, and you look at your face and you go, ah! Every wrinkle is revealed. Every acne scar you ever had is revealed. Right? All that junk is revealed under the light. What is this light revealed to you today? There may be some here today that it has been revealed to you that you need a relationship with the living God, that your sin has separated you from Him. And the good news is He sent His Son, the perfect one, the one that could say, I am righteous, and it would be true, sent Him to die in your place, that you would have eternal life, that you would be forgiven and have a relationship with the living God, not just now, but forever. What a deal that is. What a blessing that is. There could be someone here that needs to make that decision today. You have never done that. You've been kind of fooling yourself, thinking you're good enough, that I've done enough good works, it's going to tip the balance in my favor. Let me tell you, the balance is already like this, and I don't care how much you do over here, it's never going to pick this up. Only Jesus can do that, and you got to put your faith in Him. For the rest of us, have you pondered? Have you pondered your path? Do you persevere in the Word? Do you prepare yourself for the Word? Do you need to be marked? Maybe you mark your Bible, but maybe you need some marks on you. Are you one that just looks at a reflection, or are you looking to have something revealed in your life that you could be blessed, that you could be more like Christ? There's a ton in these four verses for the Christian as well as the non. We can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anyone here today who say, Brother Mike, I have never entered into a relationship with the living God through faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If you're like that, if God has revealed that to you today, would you slip your hand up that I could pray for you? It's a decision you need to make. And if you don't make it, it has eternal ramifications. It has eternal consequences. It is very important. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I need to be pondering a little bit more about where I'm going. Anybody like that? I need to ponder. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you back there. God bless you. How many would say, I need to be a more dutiful hearer? I need to start acting upon what I hear from the Lord. Anybody like that? I need to do that more. God bless you. Amen. Amen. You know, the first step is just believing what God's revealed to you. That's the first step, is just believing it. How many would say, I've marked my Bible a lot, but I need to be marked myself a lot more by the Bible? Anybody like that? I need the Bible to really work in my life a lot more than it has. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you and we ask you, Lord, to help us be not only a hearer, but a doer. And help us, Lord, to not be deceived. Even now, Lord, may we not be deceived. May we hear your truth and apply it to our lives. And Lord, I pray for these that raise their hand. I pray for these, Lord, that say they need to ponder some more. They've kind of let things go. They've been kind of going down a path their way, and they need to get on your path, Lord, the path you would have them be on. I pray for them, Lord. I pray they'd make the change that you've laid on their heart. And Lord God, I pray for those that they want to be more real with you. Rather than just see a reflection in your word, Lord, they want to be revealed that they could be more like Jesus. And those that want to be marked by your word, Lord, help us, Lord, be pleasing to you. Give us courage to make the choices, to be disciplined. Help us, Lord. Help these that raise their hand, and there may be some that didn't raise their hand, but they know they have a need in one of these areas, or maybe in an area I didn't even touch on, Lord. But Lord, whatever it is you have brought to their mind, Lord, I pray they would act upon it, because that's where the blessing is. And I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now, while the song continues, you continue with God, with what he has brought on your heart in the last 40 minutes or so. This is your time. Take advantage of it. We come before you mindful of the fact that your word has the keys to life in it. Lord, help us to ponder it, to persevere in it, to produce because of it, Lord, to be blessed by it. Father God, help us to see the truth of what you want to reveal to us in our lives, that we would be that good and faithful servant, Lord, to you, because of what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.